In case you don't know me, I'm the guest preacher here today. In case you're new here and never saw me before, I am Pastor Tom. I'm him. I'm the guy on the sign outside. First of all, I so want to thank Colin and Bob and Jimmy and Ed for filling in for me. I so appreciate that. And you got the opportunity to hear four different godly men, right?
Right.
And you got an idea to see how their style is, and you got a kind of an idea to hear what God's laying on their heart. And that's a good thing. But what's even better than that is that when I had the surgeries and Sissy and I wasn't here, the church operated.
Amen.
The church continued to be the church. Everyone stepped up, and that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. But since this is my first day back full time, I want to remember, you know, for the length of sermons. You heard different lengths of sermons too, right? And I remember that I was taught, they told us that, you know, you put a lifesaver in your mouth.
Okay.
And when the lifesaver has dissolved, you're done. And so my first sermon that I did, I put the lifesaver in my mouth. And I kept talking and talking and talking. I didn't know it was a button. I didn't know. I mean, I reached in my pocket, put a button in my mouth, didn't know it. I hope, for your sake,
that's not a button.
Not a button. But you do know from the bottom of my heart, I really what?
Don't care
anyhow. I titled this message for you today, Overcoming Obstacles. How many have obstacles in your life? Obstacles in your life. Chances are pretty good on the way here this morning, you didn't run into any obstacles, at least I don't think that you did. Oh, Yoshiko did, she ran into a curb. She stepped off the curb wrong, right? And down she went on her ankle. Yeah. But chances are pretty good. You didn't run into a deer in the middle of the road. Chances are pretty good. You didn't run into some kind of broken down car. You couldn't get around. Chances are pretty good. You weren't stuck on the turnpike for 24 hours, right? But you still had obstacles. And sometimes these obstacles that we have, church, are not what somebody has laid in the middle of the ground. It's what you've laid in the middle of your mind. How many have a busy mind? And the reality of it is, our minds are word factories. And we string these words together and they come up with obstacles. And the unbelievable truism is that your mind knows exactly what to tell you in order for you to stop progressing in life. How many have a mind like that? How many have a mind that's your worst enemy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in our life. Not obstacles so much that everybody else has put in your path. It's obstacles that you have put in your path.
Right.
Obstacles that you yourself, with that word machine that you have with the mind, that obstacle, that word machine that you have with your mind, continues to feed and continues to feed and continues to feed.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the truth is, the more your mind operates, the more the word machine continues to string words together, the less progression you will make as a Christian. Not because of what somebody else did, but based upon what you did. And I know that. I know that because I am one that does that all the time. All the time. When I went through all those surgeries that I had in the healing process, my word machine was talking to me. Help me understand that. Oh, you know, you're 65 years old now. You know you're healing up a little slower now. Help me understand that. You know, maybe you should just back off and slow down a little bit. Well, I'm not listening to that word machine. Because the word machine is a liar. The word machine that you have inside of your mind is a liar. You need to listen to the truth. And what is the truth? Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do what?
All things.
Now, I want to challenge that thought for just a second. I want to challenge that. It's true that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is true. That is true. However, what about things you won't do? I mean, I can do all things, but the truth of the matter of it is, I won't do all things. I can, but some things I choose what? Not to do. And if you choose not to do things, you choose deliberately not to do it, would there be a good chance that God's not going to do it too? Yes. Because you have a part to play. It's clear. It says, I want everybody to say that with me, and I want you to point to yourself. I can do all things. One more time. I can do all things. One more time. I can do all things. Now, I wonder how many of you have chosen not to do
all things.
All things. Who's chose that? Not to do all things. I mean, we pray and we pray and we pray for these things to be done in our life, but yet we sit down on our laurels and we don't make an effort to do it. How many is guilty of that?
Yeah.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Because the word machine is telling you, regardless of what that says, it does not apply to you because you cannot do it.
Yeah.
And that's the word machine. That's years and years of repetitive self-talk to yourself. That's years and years of everybody else jabbering in your ears about the things you cannot do. But God's word says, yes, you can. And you have to decide. What are you going to believe? I found this poem. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've already lost. It's all a state of mind. It's all a state of mind. Everybody in this room has a mind. Some of us have lost it years ago, but we found some of it on the way. How many have a less of a mind today than you had when you were younger? Anybody's mind a little twisted? Alright. I want you to remember this. Our thoughts today determine who we will be tomorrow. Our thoughts today will determine what? Who we are. And what did you think about yourself yesterday, I wonder? I really truly wonder what you thought about yourself yesterday. I wonder how many of you really truly got up and said to yourself, ooh, I forgot. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. Beautiful and wonderfully made. Some translations, fearfully made. I wonder how many of us get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, boy, I wish I was somebody else.
No, I don't want to be nobody else.
I wonder how many of us, really truly now, are so dissatisfied with who we are, you wish that you were somebody else. Anybody ever go that way? I wish I was taller, or I wish I was better looking, or I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that. You know, when you start saying that, you say, God made a mistake. I may be the only one in this room that's bold enough to say I am beautiful.
I'm beautiful.
Who's beautiful in this room?
Yeah.
Okay, point to yourself, say, I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
And wonderfully made.
Knit together.
In my mother's womb. Before the beginning of time, God knew me.
Yeah.
God knew me. Before the beginning of time, God knew me. I was in Walmart. I was telling Men's Challenge this yesterday, on Friday. I was at Walmart in Chippewa, where we live, and the lady, she's looking at me. Do you ever have somebody look at me or you like they know you? She's looking right at me. She said, "Boy, I know you from somewhere." I'm thinking, hey, I've been around, right? Maybe she saw me as a guest preacher somewhere. Maybe she saw me as I was performing somewhere. Maybe she heard about me. She goes, I know you. I'm going, yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. She said, now I know. You're Sissy Bracken's husband. You're Sissy Bracken's husband. I went, yeah, I'm him. That's me, Sissy Bracken's husband. How many know God's got a way of humbling you, right? You're Sissy Bracken's husband. I said, yeah, I am. How many are really bad at names? Anybody bad at names? I am so bad at names. I have to put things together, like midget, for example. Like midget. I know that's midget back in the back. So I'm really bad at that. I'm bad at names. I mean, sometimes people come up and they look at you and they go, man, I know you. You're a... Right?
Yes.
Like, that's why we have these name tags on, so... No, so we can remember our own names. Oh, yeah, it's me, Pastor. But let me run this by you. I know somebody that never forgets your name. I know somebody that knows every hair on your head. I know somebody that knew your name before you were even here. I know somebody that knew your eye color before you even were created. I know somebody that knew you before the beginning of the foundation of the earth. God knows my name. How many know God knows your name? Not only does He know your name, He knows every thought you think. He knows every prayer you utter before you're on your knees. I wonder if you thought that way about yourself when you woke up this morning. Oh, really. I really wonder what you were thinking when you woke up this morning.
I'm being hurried.
Was you really thinking that you were wonderful and beautifully made? Let's turn to Proverbs 23:7.
For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you.
Wow. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So as you think in your heart, so he is. You cannot be somebody different than you think you are. Whatever it is you think you are, you become. Every single action is preceded by a thought. What you do, you think before you do. If you think you are a pauper, you will never be a king. If you think that you are lost, you will never be found. For as a man thinks, or as a woman thinks, that is who you are. So I really truly wonder, what do you think about yourself? Do you think about yourself what everybody else thinks about you? Or do you think about yourself what God thinks about you? And that's one of the biggest obstacles. Some of the biggest obstacles in our lives is what everybody else thinks about you. How many of you in this room were ever picked last on a team? I'm like the last of the Mohicans. All of you who were always picked last, stand up. I'm going to see who you are. Wow, take a look around here. Wow, look at this. These are the people picked last. Okay, everybody sit down. Okay, everybody pick first. Stand up. I want to get a good look at you. You know the deal, right? You know the deal. How, like, you're in the group, us boys, right? And they're picking up some basketball player. I'll take him. And I'll take the big one. I'll take the fast one. I'll take the three-pointer. And it gets all the way down and you're still standing and say, okay, I got you. Not I choose you.
I got you.
Right? Or.
Come on.
How many understand what I'm saying? The only way to stop that is you buy the basketball. You know what I mean? You buy the ball. You don't buy the rubber one, son. You buy the leather one. And you hold it like this, say, anybody want? Oh, yeah, I'll take you. But let me check it out for you, brothers and sisters. Are you last in life? You did not choose God.
What?
He chose you.
That's right.
Scripture says, you didn't choose me. I chose you.
Hallelujah.
You're on my team.
Yes.
I pick you on my team. And then I'm going to clean you up a little bit and wash you. I'm going to give you some new clothes.
Yes.
And then I'm going to sanctify, put you over there because you're going to have a job to do for me.
Right.
I don't care if the rest of the world picked you last. I picked you first.
Right.
You're on my team. How many are on God's team? How many glad He picked you? Why are you here today? It's not to hear me, I don't think. You're here because God picked you. And why are you here today? Because He wanted you to know that you are a somebody. And He wanted you to know that He picked you. And He doesn't see you as everybody else sees you. He looks at the inside, not the outside. And I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad. Because this 64-year-old, soon to be 65, has a roadmap all over his abdomen. I am done in the Speedo commercials, you know what I mean? There ain't no more Speedo commercials for this guy. Appendectomy, gallbladder, incisional hernia, now great big, whatever they did to me, took my colon. How many glad God looks at the inside, not the outside? How many are beautifully and wonderfully made?
Yes.
Let this mind be in you. Philippians 2:5. Let's go to that. Philippians 2:5.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
I have a question for you guys. I have a question to ponder. How are we supposed to think? Not act. How are we supposed to think in order to become the person that God wants us to be? How are we to what? Think. Think. Church, if you don't think right, you won't live right. Church, if you don't think right, you won't walk right. Church, if you don't think right, you won't act right. Because every single thing you are and everything that you do and the path you choose in life starts where?
Your mind.
Right here. Right here. Now, church, let me explain something to you. Can a paralytic individual think in his heart he's still special? Sure he can. Can a person who is handicapable, no matter what their circumstances in life, still believe that they're special?
Yes.
I want to remind you of a young woman named Amy.
Yes.
Yes.
Would any one of you want to trade places with her?
No. I wouldn't.
How many know Amy? We're talking about Amy Brooks.
Amen.
Anybody here like to trade places with her?
Okay.
You know what? I might trade places with her to get her frame of mind. But with her attitude, what does she think is possible? All things.
Hallelujah.
She thinks all things. I remember a day that I was at the Willows nursing home. And I was there visiting somebody, and there was a gentleman in the other bed, and they were bantering back and forth, this young guy and this guy. And he had his legs amputated. And the young guy was talking about running the Pittsburgh Marathon. They were, you know, they can tell they were friends back and forth. And the guy with the no leg said to the guy who was bantering him, said, man, I beat you. And the guy said, what? You ain't even got any legs. How are you going to beat me? And this old man said to him, oh, that's because you're looking at the outside, because on the inside, I'm beating the crap out of you. Because he's thinking about life where? Here. He's thinking about life here. If we do not think right, we will not live right. If we do not think right, church, we will not be right. Philippians 2:5 again. Read that for me again, Sue.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Church, if you're going to walk like Christ, you got to think like Christ. Amen. If you want to follow in the path of Jesus Christ, you got to think like Jesus Christ. You have to. You cannot think as the world gives. You cannot think as the world thinks and expect to walk a life as Christ walked.
Right.
If somebody does something to you, the world says what? They got one coming. That's what the world says, right? The world says the one who dies with the biggest toys is the one that wins, right? That's what the world says. You cannot think that this person's got one coming because they said something about you and expect to live a life like Christ. If you retaliate kind for kind, you're not walking like Christ. You're walking like who? You! My son Jesse called me on the phone the other day. We were having a talk because I have an anxiety disorder. I told you this before. I have an anxiety disorder. My son Jesse, he sent me some scripture passages. He said, Dad, you don't have an anxiety disorder. You're a son of God. Thank you, Jesse. Thanks, Jess. Oh, yeah. That's what he said. He said, no, you don't have an anxiety, Dad. You're a son of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. And I thought about that. I said, you know what? He's right. He's right.
Yes.
He said, you know, Dad, this would be your first sermon coming back. I said, I'll be all right. Am I doing okay so far?
Great.
Next week, another sermon's coming about that booing. I want you, right now, as you sit there, I want you to think about what you think about yourself. If you do not discipline yourself to think like Jesus, you will never be like Jesus.
Yes.
How many's goal as a Christian is to become more like Christ? Isn't that our goal? It's to become more like Christ? Which means that He must increase and me must decrease. If you continue to act the way you always act, if you continue to think the way you always think, if you continue to talk the way you always talk, you're just a you. You're you. You are simply what? You're a you who sits in the church pew.
Yeah.
That's who you are. You're not becoming more like Christ. You're still becoming more like you. Anybody want to be different?
Yes.
I mean, anybody want to get up in the morning and people see Christ in you?
Yeah.
Listen to me, church. I want to be the kind of man that when I get up in the morning, Satan says, oh man, he's up again. How many want to be like that? I want to be the kind of man that when I wake up in the morning, Satan goes, oh God, he's up again. That's what you want to be like. We need to learn that we need to know that we are created special. I want you to turn your Bibles to 3 John, verse 2.
Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.
I want you to prosper in all things. Now, there's this prosperity doctrine that kind of floats around in the Christendom. I'm not talking that God wants you to have prosperity, which means He wants you to have 25 Cadillacs in the driveway and, you know, bazillions of dollars in the bank. We're not talking that. We're talking about God wants you to prosper. Prosper in what? Well, you know what? I want to prosper in my relationships. Sissy and I are married 44 years, soon coming up in August. We have a great marriage.
Beautiful.
And you know, I want to prosper in that. I want to prosper in my relationship with my children and my grandbabies. I want to prosper in my relationship with my church. I want to prosper in all of my relationships with all of my friends. How many want to do the same thing? That's what I want to do. That's what I want. I want to be rich in relationships. I want to be rich in relationships. I really, truly want to be the kind of person that is rich, not in material things, but rich in the important things.
Yes.
For example, those of you who are married, do you see your wife as your old lady? I'm just saying. Do you see your wife as your old lady? Or do you see your husband as your old man? Well, James,
that's your old man.
I see you as a blessing from God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See, you got to stop referring to your mate as your old lady.
Yeah.
You got to say, this is my blessing.
Right.
From God.
Right.
Amen to that.
Do you see your children as burdens?
No way.
Number what?
As burdens?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see your grandbabies as burdens? Or do you see your children as blessings? Do you call your father my old man?
Nope.
Or do you call your mother the old lady? Or do you call them a blessing from God? About 3 years ago, somebody came to my house and they knew that I had some guitars. And the person was saying to me, what kind of guitars do you have? And I was, you know, got this and I got that and I got this and I got that. And one of my guitars, which I just recently was given to me, was a Gibson guitar from 1940s. It was given to me. And I had it like in the corner because I was working on it. And he said to me, is that a Gibson? Yeah. Whoa. Can I hold it? I said, yeah, you could play it. He said, wow, you got one of them? I said, you think that's something? You think that is something? Let me show you something. You got something more than that? Oh, let me show you something I got. Let me show you something I got that's way better than that. I went downstairs and brought Sissy upstairs. I said, I want to introduce you to somebody that puts that to shame. This is my wife, Sissy, and you ain't holding her. Turn to somebody and say, you are so special. Now, what do you think about yourself? Now, listen to me, church. God doesn't want you to be proud and arrogant. God doesn't want you to be prideful. God doesn't want you to be arrogant. But God wants you to see you as He sees you. He wants you to be able to look at yourself the way that He looks at you. He doesn't want you to be prideful, but He wants you to look at yourself as He sees you. How many can do better than you're doing now? I can do better. I can do a lot better. And you know what? As I was growing up on my kids, like Jesse, I always wanted Jesse to be successful and to do things. I'm a Jesse cheerleader. I'm a Jesse cheerleader. Jesse can do this. I'm a grandkid cheerleader. Come on, Jacob, you can do this. But God is cheering for you. You're His kid and He wants you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be a so-so. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be all that He has created you to be. And what you need to do is get out of your way. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming the whole world for your circumstances. We are our biggest problems. I tell you the truth. What do you think about your circumstances?
Getting better.
Getting better? Okay. Well, I know this. I can't control my circumstances. The only thing I can control is what I do about it.
Right?
I cannot control my circumstances. I can't control them. If I could have controlled it, I would not have had 2 surgeries in 1 day. I'd have chose definitely not to do that. On Thursday, last Thursday, we saw the surgeon, my last checkup for my surgeries. And when he was done, you know, checking my incision and stuff, he said to me, "Well, I'm releasing you. You don't have to see me anymore. You can go back to work." So he says to me, "Thank you," and I held his hand. And I said to him, "Sister, tell you, I need to say something to you." And he held my hand. And he said, "Okay." He said, "I need to apologize to you." He said, "For what?" I said, "I need to apologize to you for my anxiety. That I wasn't as kind to you as I should have been." Aww. He looked at me. He said, "You don't have to apologize for who you are." And I said to him, "No, I said, do. I need to apologize for who I am because I need to be more like my Christ."
Hallelujah.
And I apologized to that surgeon. I held his hand. I said, "I am so sorry for not responding to you the way that I probably should have. But I want to tell you how grateful, how thankful I am that you saved my life."
Hallelujah.
That's what I said. Because you know what? I can't always choose my circumstances, but I sure can choose what I do about it. How many understand that? I was shown a picture yesterday of an elbow, a plumbing's elbow. You know, cast iron plumber elbow, 45.
Yeah.
What's that cost, you think? What's that cost?
$2.
$2. Now listen to me, $2, right? $2. You know, you put 2 pipes together and one comes to the bend, right? An elbow. $2. Well, this elbow split open. It broke, and all the water in the pipe ran all over the place for an extended period of time and destroyed a restaurant called the pub. A $2, right? A $2 piece has cost more than thousands. It's in the tens of thousands. Now, if somebody knew that that $2 piece was going to break, somebody would have went up there and fixed it. You cannot always control your circumstances, but you can always control what? What you do. What you do. I'd rather have not had the surgeries that I had, but I'm stronger today because of it. Stronger today because of it. How many go through circumstances? How many stronger because of them? Amen. Let's go in our Bibles, please, to Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes, sir.
I can do all things. I can do all things. What are some of the things that you can do? Well, I made a little list for myself. I can be the person that God has called me to be. I can be a godly Christian father. I can be a godly Christian mother. I can be a godly Christian husband or wife. I can be a godly child. I can be a godly friend. I can be a godly employee. I can be a godly employer. I can be all those things. I can be all those things. We can make marriages work better. We can make friendships work better. We can make a church better. We can make our lives better. By what? All things. Through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Let's go to Philippians 1:6.
Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
We do not worship a halfway God. We do not worship a part-time God. There are only part-time Christians. And there are only halfway Christians. Let me explain this to you. For my children and my grandchildren, I only want the best for them. And I'm going to want the best for them until the Lord calls me home. How many of you want the best for somebody too? How many want the best for that person or persons until the Lord calls you home? Well, let me explain something to you. That thing that God has started in your life, He's not done. And He's not going to be done until you're done. And that work that He started in you, He's going to complete it. And when you raised your hand and you said that you want to be the Lord's, He thought you meant it. And when you said you wanted to be transformed in His image and His likeness, guess what? He's going to do that. I'd love to tell the story in closing of about a field trip that went to a silversmith, a little group of sixth graders. And they went to a place like Old Economy. And they went into the silversmith shop, and there was a man dressed in the clothes of the era. And he was going to show the kids how to refine silver. And so he gathered all the kids around, and he had the dress, the garb, and all that as authentic as possibly could be. And he had this ladle and a kettle. And he took these rocks, black-looking rocks, and he put them in the kettle. And one of the kids said, "Well, what is that?" He said, "That's silver." And the kid said, "It doesn't look like silver, it's all black. It's all dirty." He said, "Well, that's the secret. See, there's silver inside. There's silver inside." And so the old silversmith took the black-looking rocks, he put it in the kettle, took the ladle, and stuck it in the fire. And one little girl raised her hand and said to the silversmith, "How hot does that got to be?" And the silversmith said, "You know, I don't know. I never really paid much mind to it. Hot." And the little girl said, "Well, if you don't know how hot it's going to be, how much wood are you going to put in there?" And the silversmith said, "Well, you know, that's the secret. See, only I know." So the silversmith took the kettle and looked inside, put it back in. The kids were all gathered around with anticipation. The silversmith took it out, looked at it, put it back in. The little boy raised his hand. "How long is this going to take?" The silversmith said, "You know, I don't know. I never really timed it." "Well, listen, if you don't know how long it's going to take, how are you going to know when it's done?" The silversmith says, "Oh, that's the secret. See, only I know." And so the silversmith takes it, looks at it, puts some more wood on the fire, and this process continues for a while. Kids are growing impatient. One little girl says, "When is this going to be done?" The silversmith said, "Well, let me see." "Oh, it's done." The little girl said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, come here. Come here. Now, don't touch the kettle. You see it's red hot, right? Just look inside and tell everybody what you see." And the little girl looked inside. She went, "Oh, I see myself. I can see myself." And the old silversmith said, "Yeah. You see, when the rocks have all that stuff burned away, and all that's left is silver, and I see my reflection, it's done. Hallelujah. It's done." And then he turned to the kid and said, "Well, see, that's kind of like God doing something in your life. You see, He wants to burn away all that black. All that dirt. He wants to burn away all that impurities. He wants you to stick you in that refiner's fire. And all that junk, burn it off." And He takes out and looks at you and says, "You ain't done yet." Because only He knows. Puts you back in the fire. And that process just continues and continues. And whenever Jesus can look inside your heart and see His reflection, then you are done. Then you are done. Some of us ain't done yet. How many are a long way from being done? And what He's got to do, church, He's not going to say, "Oh, you have no value." He's not going to say, "You'll never be anything." He's not going to say that. He's going to say, "Inside of you is silver because I put it there. And I'm going to burn all that junk off until I can see my reflection in your life." Amen. And it hurts. When He does that, it hurts. He says, "You don't need that relationship anymore. I'm burning it off you.
Yeah.
You don't need that way of life anymore. I'm burning it off of you. You don't need that substance. You don't need that addiction. You don't need to watch that stuff on the computer. You don't need to read those books. You don't need that junk no more. I'm burning that off. I'm burning that off. I'm going to tell you something. Walmart. Well, that woman looking at me. Saying, I know you. I know you. And I said, oh, great. Oh, I know how I know you. You're Sissy Bracken's husband. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm him. You're that pastor. She talks about you all the time. I'd rather be known as Sissy Bracken's husband, the pastor who she talks about all the time, than some SOB down the street. I don't want to be known as somebody else. I don't want to be known as, I'm serious. I want to be known as a man of God. I don't be known as a guy down the street. I want to be the, how many want to be a man or woman of God? That's what I want.
That's what I want.
Right. I want to be known as that person. And whose responsibility is it to be that person?
Yours.
It's yours. Okay, point to yourselves.
I
can do
all things.
Through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, every man and woman in this room, every one of us in this room, we have the opportunity to be transformed in your image and in your likeness. We clearly got to understand, Lord, that I can do all things as long as I do it. I have to play a part in this. I can do it through you who strengthens me. Lord, when we leave this place, let us be transformed more in your image and in your likeness. More in your image and in your likeness. Less of us, more of you. And all of God's children said,